Good morning. Would you bow with me over the offertory? Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful morning. And we ask you to watch over us this next coming hour as you've been here this morning. And bless this money as it's given from your heart to your people to do your bidding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heaven, love, and all the little children, God is love. want to welcome each and every one of you to the house of the Lord this morning. And I'm so thankful for that good spirit that has been with us already. And I just pray that it might continue throughout this service. All those that help him today, Gary Fry, he's going to be bringing the invocation. He's on my far right. And Mike Hancock will be bringing the benediction. And Elder Vernon Pearson will be bringing the message today. And Chelsea is playing the piano for us, and the children's choir bringing the special music. And it's sure been special, too. So, I want to share a scripture taken from John 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning was the gospel preached through the Son, and the gospel was the Word, and the Word was with the Son, and the Son was with God, and the Son was of God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made which was made. In Him was the gospel, and the gospel was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the world, and the world perceived it not. May we continue with our worship of hymn number, where is it? Hymn, I don't even see it. 21. Sorry about that.
Thank you for the opportunity to come here today and worship. We thank you for the fellowship that we have received so far. We ask a blessing for Vernon as he brings us the message of the hour. We thank you for the many blessings that we have received as a church and as a people. And we ask for a healing for our nation and for the blessings to be restored upon it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
crowd there. I'm going to bring my message this morning, and the scripture reading will be basically a lot about what I'm going to talk about. And it's taken from the second chapter of 2 Nephi. And thus prophesied Joseph, saying, "Behold, the seer will the Lord bless, and they that seek to destroy him shall be confounded. And for this promise of which I have obtained of the Lord, the fruit of thy loins shall be fulfilled. Behold, I am sure of the fulfilling of this promise, and his name shall be called after me, and it shall be called after his name of his father. And it shall be like unto me for the things which the Lord shall bring forth by his hand, by the power of the Lord shall bring my people unto salvation. Yea, thus prophesied Joseph, I am sure of this thing, even as I am sure of the promise of Moses. For the Lord hath said unto me, I will preserve thy seed forever." Just heard from the future of the church. I want to thank the children for their blessings and the music, and I want to welcome our Florida friends back and family, and our Hawaiian friend back over here, and any others who are new to our congregation. I'm certainly glad to have you here this morning. David Bates kind of got off on the subject of Joseph and his coat last week, and I felt like getting up and say, "Sit down, Joe or David. I'm going to talk about that next week." And first, I want to tell a couple of testimonies I remember. One of them was from a long time ago. I think this guy preached at Atherton. I can't think that, know that for sure, but he was a neighbor of Nile Jeffries, and he came over here, and his father came over way early, and his dad, and him and his mother were booked on the Titanic, and he got lost in Liverpool, I think is the name of the town where the ship sailed out of. But he was just a little boy, and he got lost in the town of Liverpool from his mother. And they couldn't, he said he could speak four different languages, but he couldn't speak any English. And all the Bobbies could speak English, but none of the languages that he knew. And anyway, the ship sailed before they got on it. So they missed the boat. And we was down in Branson. I seen this Titanic down there, and this testimony come back to me. But they were booked in Section C where all was lost. So that's the way the Lord works. And another one that we heard while I was down there, I was talking to a young lady and another gentleman there, and different subjects, and we went. Well, the gentleman talked about it. He says, my family were history is Mormons, and he asked me, he says, how come the blacks were not allowed priesthood in the Mormon church? And I said, well, I know a lot about the Mormon church, but I have no idea why that was. He says that rule has been taken back. And the girl, we had, you know, just talking about religion a little bit, the girl says, we had a tornado here in Branson a couple years ago. The Lord told me there was going to be a tornado that night. And I went to bed and I slept all night. And I got up in the destruction all around me the next morning. And she said, I slept right through every bit of it. But I had told some friends that there would be a tornado tonight. And so the evidence was there that the Lord had told her that there would be a tornado, and yet she comforted and slept through it all night. But I wanted to bring those two testimonies, and I didn't say anything about the priesthood call this morning, but welcome you two gentlemen when you're ordained into the priesthood of this branch and this church. May God bless you throughout the whole your lives as you travel and minister, and that's our responsibility. I know my second sermon, I was driving a truck for Clark Manufacturing Company, and I left here on Saturday morning, me and my wife and one of my kids out there, children, and we got down to Poplar Bluffs, and we found the church down there, and there's only two priesthood there, and one of them was in Chicago, and the other one was moving. So we had a little church service. She walked in there and driving a truck load of farm equipment. She said, gal says, where are you from? And I said, Independence. You wouldn't be a priesthood member. Yeah. I hadn't been ordained very long. Would you preach for us? Yeah. But I preached on 98th Section of Doctrine and Covenants. But anyway, as I was telling you, I want to talk about Joseph, who was sold into Egypt. Get hold of the priestly line, or the family line. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was the father of Jacob and Esau. And you know, Jacob stole Esau's birthright for a little bit of porridge. Well, when he got a little older, well, anyhow, Jacob became the spiritual leader, and he married Rachel. He was the daughter of Laban. And I don't know how this could have ever happened, but in our day and age, but the night of the wedding, Laban put his daughter, the older daughter, in with him, and he had worked 7 years for this woman. And then the next morning, he found out that he married the wrong woman. So he worked another 7 years for the one that he really loved, which was Rachel. And Rachel then had, she was barren apparently for several years when, and Jacob of course had several other kids. He had 10 sons, which were half brothers of Jacob and Benjamin. And Jacob then took he sent Joseph out into the field to find his brothers and find out how they were getting along. And he found them in Dothan, I believe it was. And they went from there, and when the brothers seen him coming with this fancy coat that he had on, they commenced their idea. They were jealous of him, and because of the experiences that he had had and the dreams that his brothers was all bowing down to him in a sheath of wheat or whatever the sheath is. I know a little bit about farming in that manner. They bundled grain together and stood it on end to dry, because if they left it in the field to dry, a lot of times it shattered and they would lose it. So these sheaves were all tied together, and they were all bound down to Joseph's sheath, which when you tell a dream like that, you know, you got a little problem with your brothers, especially your half-brothers, that they're going to be bound to you. Well, then he had another dream, and his mother and dad even bowed down to him. And that probably didn't go over very good either. But this was happening, you know, when you get the older brothers taking orders from the younger brother, they're bound down to him. You got Laman and Lemuel and Joseph and Nephi, and we all know that didn't go over very good either. But anyhow, Joseph was sold into Egypt as the Midianites came through. And they took him out of the pit that they threw him in. And I don't know what kind of a pit they're talking about, whether it's a well, dry well, or just what it was. But anyway, they took him out of the pit and sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Midianites. Well, they took him to Egypt at 17 years old and sold him to the chief of the guard under Pharaoh. And when they decided not to kill him, and which was, of course, the hand of the Lord involved in that. We all know that. But Joseph, then, when he got there, being a man of God, and he done everything that he thought needed to be done. And when you find a man that does everything that needs to be done without having to be told, they get positions that normally they might not get, and not everybody does that. So those kind of guys are just more or less shoved down all the time. And the men who do what they are supposed to do and need to do are lifted up. Well, he become leader of the guards of Egypt there. Well, about this time, Potiphar's wife made a pass at him, and he rejected her, and she grabbed his coat and her cloak, and he run off, I guess. And of course, when he got back, or when Potiphar got back, and the guards, well, they end up throwing him in prison for quite some time. But anyway, as he met up with the butler and the baker in the prison there, and they had a couple of dreams. Well, Joseph, of course, translated their dreams for him. And one of them is going to be, he was told he'd be put back as the head baker, or butler, I guess it was the butler, and the other one would be killed. And that's what happened within 3 days. So he told him, he said, now when you get out of here, remember me. Well, 10 years later, he remembered him. Now, that's really paying homage to the guy that helps you. But that's what happened. Anyway, well, then the Pharaoh had a dream. We all know that, about what dream that was, about the kine, I think, K-I-N, I can't remember what the name is exactly. But anyway, they were going to have 7 good years and 7 bad years. And he couldn't understand that. So, hey, there was a guy in prison back there. You know, he could interpret dreams. Well, go get him. So they go down and gets Joseph and brings up here. Well, you're going to have 7 good years and 7 bad years. And in 7 years of plenty, you're supposed to store up food enough for 7 years of plenty to last you 7 years of drought and dearth, I think the word was in the Bible. Well, if we get into that type of situation, and most people, when they start having good years, they start spending their money. And they don't store too many food. And I know a family says, I ain't going to store no food. And we got some food stored, and I know the Mormons got food stored, but they stored the food, and Joseph was put in charge of this food storage. Now, I have no idea how they kept their grain for 7 years, but that's what they did, and the Lord blessed it. And what was really interesting, to get on down the line, then at the end of the 7 years of plenty, why Joseph was out visiting around, and he'd had two children by this time, and Benjamin and Jacob. Joseph had Benjamin and can't remember his name. Benjamin and Joseph. And Joseph ain't the right name there. But anyway, the two brothers, and in that situation, he had the opportunity to go throughout the country and distribute the land. Well, 2 years after the drought started, well, here comes 10 of his brothers to buy food. And in doing that, he recognized them right off, and he didn't identify himself to them. And so he gave them their grain that they bought, and talked to them, and kind of inquired of their family, and wanted to know if he had any brothers and father and all this. And, yeah, I got a little brother, Benjamin, and my father, well, tell you what, we're going to keep your brother, one of you guys here. You go home and get your little brother and bring him back. Oh, we can't do that because our dad would just die if our little brother, because he's already lost one son. And so they went on to, well, that's where it's going to be. So they put the grain in a bag and they put the money in a bag and they sent him back to Canaan to where his father was. And after that, of course, the food ran out pretty quick, and they told me, we've got to go back, and we have to take Benjamin with us. Oh, you can't take Benjamin. We have to take him, or we ain't going to go. And one thing, anyway, they went up and went. They went and took Benjamin with them, and at that time, again, they filled the bags full of corn and grain, and they put the silver cup, Joseph's cup, drinking cup, into the Benjamin's bag. Well, he let him get a little ways down the road, and he tells his servants, go get him, bring him back here, and make him search their bags. Well, they found the money, and they found the silver cup, and that made Benjamin have to stay in Egypt. And then at that time, he ended up identifying himself to them. And what was really, really interesting, about that time, I'll read some scripture here. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hands the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get ye up in peace unto your father. And which they did do that. And if your youngest brother be with us, then we will go down, for we may not get to see the man if we don't take our little brother with us. So they weren't going to. He told me, he said, you won't get to see me if you don't bring your little brother back. And he said, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, and I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. And that would be quite a statement there to have that kind of situation on your hand. And but anyway, after that, then he told me, he says, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and come and bring your father and come. And regard not your stuff, for this good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Now he brought them all back there, and Joseph, I think, lived in Egypt then, or Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years before he passed away, and then they had to take him back to where he was, had his first one of his wives was buried, and his mother and dad and all that. But it's quite an experience that Joseph had, that it's just hard to imagine to me that your half brothers would do this to you and sell you in, and then you have to go back and bow down and say, "I'm your brother that you sold into Egypt." Don't be mad, because the Lord made you do it. And we just don't understand this kind of thinking in our day and age. But anyways, Joseph then, Jacob blessed Joseph and his family, and said, "I will make a great nation out of Joseph, and I will go down with thee into the Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hands upon thy eyes." And by this time, Jacob was getting pretty well blind. But they brought back 66 people from Egypt, from Canaan into Egypt. Now Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And in these two sons, he gave them a tremendous blessing. And this blessing is with us today. And the thing that I want to, really my whole thoughts of what I want to do, is to bring out today the facts that Joseph in Egypt had the priesthood authority with him. He carried that down, and he tells it that he prophesies that over here in section 50. Get to that just a little bit here. Well, here's some more our underline here. See, and Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put the right hand upon his head." And his father refused and said, "I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people. He shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he is in his seed." And then it talks about Joseph shall be a fruitful bough, a bough by a well whose branches go over the wall. Now, missionaries use this quite frequently in talking about the Book of Mormon, the people leaving the Book of Mormon and coming over here. But and that's what I read in the scriptures. And I've always remembered that section 50, or section, not section, chapter 50 in the book of Genesis is about the same as the second Nephi. In other words, page 88, I remember the page. It's page 88 in the Book of Mormon, where Joseph is named after his father. And to me, the lineage of the priesthood that goes from father to son, from father to son, to father to son, to father to son. And I cannot comprehend, you know, we had Joseph Smith, we had his brother, I can't even think of the second brother's name. Then there's Israel, and whatever their names are. Anyway, all the four brothers that have been priesthood members, leaders of the church, kind of lost me right here. But Joseph was named after his father. Joseph Smith was named after his father, who was named after Joseph, who was in Egypt. And this priestly line has come down. And how can anybody who knows and understands the scriptures, as this line comes in the Book of Mormon, follows the father to son, his father to son. Now, I was just thinking, if a Lamanite prophet did come forth, and we expect one, he very easily could be a descendant of Joseph, who was sold into Egypt. Because I have no idea. Moses was a descendant of Joseph, who was sold into Egypt, the way I read it. And I don't know. I understood that Christ was born of Mary, who was a descendant of David. And I would bet that David was a descendant of Joseph, who was sold into Egypt. So it's just a matter of following the line, that, and God set it up that way, and I think he will continue it that way. But Joseph was 17 when he went into Egypt, and he was 30-something when the drought hit. It's just a matter of the Lord taking care of his people. And we've got to realize that we are his people, and that we are trying to follow the priesthood line. And as our brothers were called out and pointed out this morning, may the Lord truly be in their lives. And I want to tell one about Roger. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I'm not going to give any names, but he said Roger should have been called the office of elder a long time ago. And this was before I knew that Roger was even getting a call. And he said Roger should have been called the office of elder a long time ago. Now why, I have no idea. I know when I was called the office of elder, when I was called the office of priest, shortly after I was ordained the pastor, we went to prayer meeting, my wife and I, and something was different. You know, the priesthood didn't come from the back of the church to go up and be ahead of the prayer service. And I said, something's different. Well, our pastor was amongst them at that time, and he pointed out to four of us people there that night that he said that Nile Jeffries would be known well throughout the state, and Bob Brock's ministry would be known well throughout the congregation. And said that my ministry would be known over a wide area. I've been to England, out west, and preached in Honduras. But it's quite an experience to preach through an interpreter in Honduras to a house full of people. But it's a blessing. Scares you to death. You get all mixed up. Can't remember nothing. But it certainly is a blessing to serve the Lord. And priesthood is priesthood, whether you're a high priest, a priest, low priest, or whatever you want to call them, deacons, teachers, elders, they're priesthood. And if we can deny that, we're in big trouble today. But I know that. And that's what I really wanted to bring out in the Joseph story, that father to son, and the lineage just came right on down to Joseph Smith, and how could any way but by the power of God would the Bible be able to put in here that Joseph, who was bring the gospel back in the last days, would be named after his father and after the Joseph who was sold into Egypt. And it just, every time I read that, it just thrills me through and through. Well, I'm glad you guys had run the service over, or we'd been going home real early. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so very much for giving us each the opportunity to be here in this your house of worship today. Thank you for blessing us with your precious Holy Spirit that has touched us and uplifted us. We pray now, Lord, that you will allow that Spirit to go with us as we part ways, that you will please allow us to remember that joy and that love that we have felt touched this morning, and that we can share that with those that we come in contact with. I pray that you will just be with each of us, and that we will strive to be the servants that you need us to be. We praise your name, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.